Hello, everyone. Welcome to 10K Saturday. This week, Lulu is talking with Laura Bess, playwright, actor, and champion of body positivity. And get ready for this segue. If you're in the market to nourish your body, why don't you try Blue Apron, the OG of meal home delivery services? It's been around since 2012, and it's completely flexible. So go to 10kdollarday.com/blueapron and tell them we sent you. Because for this episode, you need a hot meal and a cold shower. Now, before we get to Laura, a little bird told me that Lulu had an audio issue during the first part of the episode. So do you think the Blue Apron people will also deliver convenient audio support to our doorstep? Let's go.
And now it's 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of 10K Saturday. And this week, we're going to be talking to Laura Bess. Oh, what up? We just debuted a name. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if you are here for 10K Saturday, then you're in the 10K Dollar Day feed. That is our comedy podcast about imaginary luxury travel. We're so excited if you are an old listener to 10K Dollar Day that you're here. And if you're a new listener, let me explain that at 10K Dollar Day, every week, Allison Burns and I spend a fake $10,000. We figure out how to spend it in 24 hours somewhere around the world. And then we tell each other about it. And amazingly, that concept can get us through an hour of content. This is our 10K Saturday where we have bonus features, guest interviews, and we have a whole other podcast. I said it in a whole other podcast feed. You have to look up the Daily Happy if you want 10 more minutes of this situation. But with my co-host, you can find us there. It's 10 minutes a day. It's fun. It's wake you up. It's wind you down. It's how you doing. We also have YouTube channels. We do a lot. I don't know how either. But today, we have my dear friend, Laura Bess, with us. Laura, say hi.
Hi.
Oh, gosh. It's so nice to, like, see your face. We are Zooming, even though
I know
people at home can't hear, but or can't see. They can certainly hear you. And yes. Laura is an actor. She's a playwright. She is all the things. And we met doing theater. And we might talk a little bit about theater, but I feel we're here to talk about other things today. If you are not familiar with Laura, I say pause right here and then go look up Laura Bess is Best. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Look up Laura Bess is Best on Instagram. Check out the Instagram. And now let's talk to Laura. Laura, your Instagram has made a huge change in the pandemic. I've watched it happen as your friend. Tell me about the moment you decided to start posting different content.
That was, was there an actual moment? It was something that I thought about for a long time. Because the pandemic just, for all of us, it just brought out some new things. I was, if we want to talk about theater for a second, I was in North Carolina. I was at the time living in New York, and I was in North Carolina doing a show at Triad Stage. And we got shut down right before we went into tech, like we were going to tech the next day and we got shut down. And I was stuck here. I was stuck here for months. And I was away from my clothing and I hadn't necessarily packed for all the seasons. I certainly hadn't packed for like summer in North Carolina. I'd packed for spring in North Carolina and those are different things. And I had to like, I had been going through, so like for the year before that, I've been going through some changes as far as I had moved up a position at my job and I was making a little bit more money and suddenly I had enough money to actually pay attention to the way that I was dressing and actually rediscover my style. Cause normally as a working actor with survival jobs, you don't have a whole lot of money. And so you're just kind of like, whatever's going to get me through to the next thing is how you're choosing clothes, or whatever my mom buys me is how you're choosing clothes. And so I was like, I was at a different weight. I was heavier than I had been in a while. And I didn't know what my style was anymore. I didn't know the way I wanted to express myself anymore as far as clothing. I didn't know what I felt comfortable with. I didn't know what made me feel beautiful. And so I was able to buy myself some clothes that really liked and enjoyed and made me feel great and didn't make me feel weird for buying bigger clothes. And a lot of this happened at Torrid. Shout out to Torrid. I think they're a great store, but they are more expensive than I was previously able to partake in. So I had to start buying summer clothing. And I just suddenly just got to this place of like, I had been hiding. I'd been hiding my arms. I'd been hiding different parts of my body. And it got to be hot and I had to pick these new clothes. And I'm like, this is not the time to hide. I'm going to be so comfortable and I'm going to feel great in this clothing that I'm wearing. And I'm going to be like, look at me. I just really suddenly felt like, pretty. I really felt pretty in what I was wearing. I felt good in what I was wearing. And awesome. I was just like, there are people like me out there who have tried, have done Google search on top of Google search, trying to find clothing that works for them, who have gone through a similar journey. And if there's anything that I can do to help them find this new freedom and peace that I have found, as materialistic as it sounds to talk about clothing, it's such a huge part of our society. We have to wear clothes. So finding clothes that you look and feel good in, that you think that you look, that I think that I look and feel good in, that's the most important part. Is it's all about pleasing myself. It has nothing to do with what anybody else thinks. It's just me going, this is great. I love this. So that's where it started. And that's like, I can get on Instagram and I can do that. And up until then, it really started kind of in the summery part of the pandemic of 2020. And up until then, I'd only used Instagram like once every 6 months, I'd post something strange and random. So yeah, that's how it started. And it continued with things that were specific to me, because I have some different abilities. I have scars and on different parts of my body that I have been nervous over the years about whether or not to show. They're easily hideable, my scars. And there are a lot of people in my life who are close to me, who have no idea, who have known me for years.
Like, and literally I post a picture, no idea that it even no exists idea. On your body?
Yeah, maybe they have a slight idea, but, you know, for the longest time I wore long pants, and there's no reason. I was in a lawnmower accident when I was 5 years old, so these scars have been a part of my body for a long time, and my left leg from the knee down is very, very scarred and looks very, very different. It's an entirely different shape and size from my right calf. And I have some skin scars on my thighs, and my left foot's pretty scarred up. And I have a scar on my very long scar on my abdomen that nobody ever really sees. So much so that one of my closest friends, who I've known for 20 years now, when I sent her the picture that I wanted to post about my abdomen scar. And she's like, Laura, I didn't even know that was there. I have no memory of this.
Wow.
So that's been an incredible freeing, unchaining experience of just being like, this is my body and this is who I am. And I love it. And it's all a part of me and it's beautiful and I feel beautiful.
There was a picture that you posted a while back, and it was you in the bathtub, and it was the first time that I had seen you post something with your scars out, and I had seen them in a dressing room. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a secret to me. You certainly don't dress to show them very often, but I've certainly seen them. I knew they were a part of your body, but I'd never seen you proactively show them before, allow them to be on display. Was that a scary moment? Did you want to take it down? Like, what was that like?
That was a very scary moment. I'd had this idea before I came down to do the show of, I want to do a scars out photo shoot of owning this part of myself, of not being ashamed of it, because I'm not. But yet I seem to dress that way. I wanted to do a photo shoot, and I also wanted to do like two different ones, Scars Out, and then one where I got in touch with like a body paint artist. So any body paint artists out there, hit me up, where they made these things into works of art, these scars of mine into works of art. Because I had listened to years ago a podcast, and I tried to find it and I couldn't, about this. I think she was a snowboarder and she ended up with one of her legs amputated. And I'd had a very similar journey to her in that a lot of the orthopedists and the people who make the orthotics that I sometimes have to wear, where they're like, well, you can't have anything pretty. These are the only things that are going to work for you. And I'm like, that just can't be true. And
she ended up like, it's old lady shoes for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. In order for you to walk properly, you have to wear old lady shoes for the rest of your life. And she had kind of broken out of that mold and found these artists who made her these prosthetics that were gorgeous works of art, and would like wear them on the runway and stuff. And I was like, I want that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm still looking for that. But it was pandemic time, and I was like, I still really want to do this, and I want to do it even more than I did before, but I can't like work in close proximity with a photographer and a body part. So I guess I'm doing this myself. So I set that thing up in, you know, the bathroom that was available to me with a bathtub in it. And I had to like get weird angles and do weird lighting and figure it out. And it took forever. I was in that bathtub for a very long time.
Sure.
And I was actually taking a bath.
I'm proud of you.
So there was water.
Why waste a clean tub? It's not just for a photo shoot. You're going to take a bath. That's just smart, Laura. Smart.
I was in that water for a very long time.
Oh my God. Just a pruny photo shoot. Yeah, I love this journey for you. Even as a playwright, because we've gotten together to read your work together, mm-hmm. you've mm-hmm. always been very conscious of being a woman and what it means to be in that body. I feel like mm-hmm. that I've seen that theme in your writing before. So it mm-hmm. makes sense to me that now your body is your work of art, just mm-hmm. in a way. And I think our listeners are kind of primed for this conversation, because what I didn't even tell you before we started recording is that I have been in this whole like change my wardrobe situation, almost mm-hmm. verbatim what you said, where most of my clothes mm-hmm. came from someone buying them for me, or the mm-hmm. cheapest option possible at the time. And so mm-hmm. everything that you said, we've actually talked about in the past 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, Allison literally said to me on microphone, the only thing that we have the power to express for ourselves is our body, you know, and what we mm-hmm. put on our body and how we hold our body and how we take care of our body. And so we've been having those talks, especially in a year where so much was out of our control.
Yes.
How great is yes. it to find something that you can control?
Yes. And there's a whole other part of it, because Torrid has lingerie for big girls. And I, over the course of this pandemic, have bought myself done with some, with no, there's no partners on the horizon to enjoy this. This is
for you.
Literally just for me, and it, because it makes me feel fabulous.
Right.
So I cannot encourage that enough. Anybody out there, not only finding clothing yep. that makes you feel good for yourself, just walking around the house, because I don't live with anybody most of the time. Just walking around the house in my lingerie and my silky robe, just feeling like
living
a queen
life,
or a movie star. It's awesome. It's an awesome experience.
I'm so happy.
Absolutely awesome.
So you've been really kind of been such a leader and open in this space. And I say leader among your friends, because you're a leader among your friends, and I count myself one.
Thank you.
And your mindset, though, is for people who are just meeting you. Is this who you were a year ago mm-hmm. in your head?
Not fully, not full out. I think since about 2018, I've been on a self a pretty deep self-love journey, due to a lot of things. One of them, Daniel Sloss, if you've ever heard of this comedian, he's got two specials on Netflix and one on HBO. But one of the ones on Netflix, he talks about loving yourself 100%, because if you don't love yourself at 100%, then someone can love, come. If you only love yourself at 20%, then someone can come in and love you at 50%. And you'll be like, that's so much. And it's not. And I had to sit there and be like, do I love myself at 100%? So working on that. We've talked about this before, but around 2018 is when I started to read the You Are a Badass book. And that got me into meditation. And it just led me to this place where I had these really, this is going to sound super woo-woo, guys, but with meditation, I had these really beautiful, almost euphoric moments of self-love and body love. And it got me into this practice where every day when I take a shower, when I touch each part of my body, I tell it I love it and I thank it. Every part, even the parts that I don't like so much, I say, I love you. Like, I love you rolls. I love you underarm. I love you. And it can be, you know, sometimes it's just, yeah, I love you. I got to get out of the shower. But sometimes it's really beautiful to just spend a second and connect with your body and remember that it's beautiful and it gets you to place to place and give it some love. So I think that was really the start. But the being upfront, the talking about it, the putting it all out there. No, if you met me a year ago, that's not who I was. Absolutely.
Tell me about what the world has shown you with your new mindset. What's it like walking through the world with that new mindset?
It's less stressful. That's something, and here's where we get into the mental health of it. There's been a coming together of different parts of myself, because I'm starting to realize that I've spent the majority of my life only showing the parts of myself to people that I think they want to see. Like, you're going to get a customized Laura. You're not going to get the full Laura, because I think that's all you want to see. Not you, Lulu, but people in general. So there's been a coming together of all of this, of body positivity and scar positivity and loving yourself positivity, of just, so I feel a different kind of wholeness. And part of that is also sexuality, and it's all a part of the same thing. It's all intersectional. Because a couple years ago, I was doing a movement class, and we all had to do a dance, and everybody was doing the dance, but the music they were playing was a little like it was a little bassy. And I was like frozen. I like couldn't do it. And I spoke out loud for the first time. Like, I was afraid to bring my sexuality into the room with me, because then I thought that it would be up for consumption. And that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
So this body positivity and realizing that I look great and I love myself and that I am desirable. Once again, I believe I am. This has to do with me, not the other people. But it does affect that. So that's been a more recent, within the past couple of months, of like, I can bring, that's part of being a full human being. Everybody has sexuality. You can bring that into the room. I don't have to cut myself off from the waist down if I'm around someone who is, I don't know, married or has a girlfriend. As soon as I find that information, I can still exist as a fully full human being with sexuality, even in that context.
You're allowed
and
to
part
be
of yourself. That is, yes, I'm allowed to be fully myself. And that has been fun and interesting, and it still feels very, very new.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I told you I wanted to talk about this, and we can talk about it if you want to, but it's led me to listening to romance audiobooks with big women as the lead characters. And it's incredible.
I mean, I'm Zooming with you so I can see your face. I can tell how incredible it is on your face. You have clearly found something. And so where are you finding these? On an app? Like, what? Tell people if they're interested, like, what's the path?
Yes. So it started with, and I just, for some reason, the pandemic, I love to read. I love to sit down and read actual books. I love to hold them and smell them and see the words on the page. But for some reason, at this point in the pandemic, for the past few months, I cannot sit down with a book. So Bridgerton came out and I was like, I'm going to listen to these on audiobooks. And I like bought each one. They're a little sexy in different places. But the fourth one is Penelope's book and she's a bigger girl. And I was like, this is great. So then I went, this is a very convoluted way to tell you how I got to this place. My friend gave me like a 3-month prescription to Audible. And I was like, great. So they've got some Jane Austen on there, read by famous British people, like dramatic readings, and it's free with your membership. And then I wanted to watch North and South, the Elizabeth Gaskell with Richard Armitage, but it's not on Netflix anymore. And I was like, well, I'm going to listen to the audiobook. And I listened to the audiobook and I got done with it. And I was like, no, I really just wanted Richard Armitage. But he's a famous audiobook narrator. Like, he does tons of them. And so I went and was like, I want Richard Armitage to read me stuff. And there's good stuff on Audible, guys, with him reading stuff that's like love poems and all of this fun stuff. But one of them is a romance novel, like a trashy romance novel. And I was like, why did this man record this? And now I have to listen to it. And let me tell you, Richard Armitage talking about desires happening in different parts of his body was excellent. Excellent. And that led me to like, okay, I'm going to listen to another one. I'm going to find one with another British accented guy. And this one just happened to have the lead character as a bigger woman. And it was like, when you talk about representation matters, guys. And just hearing this deep voiced, growly voiced British man talk out loud about desiring this woman's body in this way was like incredibly healing. Because once again, it's not about it. I don't need a man to validate me. I don't need a man to tell me I'm desirable for me to believe I'm desirable. But when you've never seen or heard anything that represents you in that way, to suddenly hear yourself being represented as desirable was incredible. So there are several on Audible. I can list them to you now. I can bring it up and list the good ones to you now that I've found so far. The problem is I very specifically need a male narrator. Most of them are male and female, but I need when it's...
That's your thing.
That's my thing. I just need the guys I need the growly voice.
Okay.
Very specific need. But yes, there are several out there that I found that have very good representation with curvy women as the leads. And it's very important to me to find the ones where the woman isn't on that journey that I just talked about, like isn't only accepting herself because now there's a man that finds her desirable, or who spends the whole time going, oh God, I'm fat. Like, we don't want that.
Right.
I want people.
Like, not Hairspray.
I need a female narrator who's like, I'm awesome. My body's awesome.
Well, here's a question then. If someone is like, oh, this sounds like it's right up my alley. Mm-hmm. Do you have some good ways to pick the, like, what to listen to? Because I'm assuming that people are just going to see like a bunch of covers that all look the same. So what are some good keywords or authors, or what's a great way to start if you want that kind of intelligent type of, right?
Right. So once I started on these and knew that I needed to find ones like that, there isn't a lot out there that I have found yet. I'm still new at this, that are specifically about audiobooks, but there are some YouTube channels with awesome women talking to you about romance novels with representation. And there's three or four that I found that are specifically on novels, romance novels with your woman as the leads. And then I would just check back with Audible to see if they had that. And I've listened to some with just female narrators, and those are great too. Like, they're all great. I'm not even going to talk about like whether or not I think the writing is good. I feel like I need to start my own reality TV show where the camera just follows me around as I'm listening to it to get my facial expressions. Because some of it is bad, right?
Sure. Some of it is sure.
Hilarious.
Sure.
There's a lot of me just going, sure. When no one's around.
Yes. I can see that. Now, Laura, I will tell you that I used to have Audible. I now listen to Scribd because Scribd is only like $5 or $6.99 a month.
That's nice.
And it's unlimited. So I've been listening to audiobooks on there, and you can find sheet music on there too. And people put PDFs, like instruction manuals. It's very strange. So enjoy Scribd. That's awesome. I knew you wanted to get to that, and I thought it might be what you're obsessed with, because I'm going to ask you that later. But I'm so happy you already brought it up so that we can get to what you're actually obsessed with. It's amazing. I think everyone is just obsessed with you right now. Oh. Like I am. I'm obsessed with Laura Bess. P.S. everyone, if you're like, hey, I know this girl, she's never gone by Laura Bess before, that's because we just realized, listen, she's changing her wardrobe. She's changing her sexual, like, I don't know, like energy as she walks into a room. She's also changing her name. So her name is Laura Bess now, everyone. Get ready to be influenced.
Super influenced.
Get ready to be influenced. I'm already influenced.
I say okay. One more thing really quick about the romance.
No, absolutely. Of course. What's up?
There was one that had a woman who was in a terrible accident when she was 6 years old and had scars on her legs. And
shut
whose
up.
Hips were still, like, she occasionally still limped because of what happened. Down to, like, she had halo braces like I had to have, and some of the pensite scars were exactly the same.
Shut up.
And I'm telling you, it was one of the most healing experiences of my life to listen to this happen.
That must have changed your life.
It's just one of those, like, she had to have the conversation with guys that I have to have, which is, before you pull my pants down, I have to warn you about a couple of things. And it was happening, like, I was listening to it. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And then it happened.
Oh, wow.
Like, she had that conversation. It was great.
Because no one teaches you how to have that conversation,
no.
I bet. Like, no one gave you language to use. No one said, let's sit down and role play this out.
No.
Right? You just had to figure that out on your own.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Have you reached out to the author?
I did write her. I wrote her a letter. She hasn't responded, but I read her letter. I was like, this was incredible. Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't respond, actually. That's surprising, because she clearly had a situation in mind. When you write that into a story,
I was like, did we go to high school together? Like, how do you know that? Who do you know? Like, unless you know me, how do you know about this? Is so specific. Yeah, it was incredible.
Wow. Laura, what a cool thing to find. Mm-hmm. That's such a cool, in a very small way, I can relate, very, very small way, Laura, because I've never seen anybody look like me in a movie that wasn't about being Filipino.
Yeah, that's not a that's a huge way.
Well, it's a way that we've all kind of like figured out. I feel like that's not a hidden small way.
Mm-hmm.
Your story is a more private representation story that I think people don't think about as often, and mine is in the news right now. You know?
Sure.
So, although I have enjoyed all the brown people in commercials lately,
this
in America, it's about time you knew that we can also clean our houses, our own houses.
Do your own
and
laundry.
Also have opinions. on video games. It's amazing. I'm like, well, look at us. We're ordering pizza. Look at that. Look at us go. Buying cars. Very exciting. Okay.
It is very exciting.
It's very exciting, everyone. All right. I'm going to go to our 10K5. That's what we call the five questions.
Yes.
You may have heard these in passing, Laura, if you have listened to a previous episode, which I know you have. But Laura has chosen to not have these in advance of her interview. So these will theoretically be on the fly, even though she doesn't know that she actually knows these questions. Okay. So the first question is, what are you obsessed with right now?
Well, like you said, romance audiobooks. But literally last night, my friend turned me on to this app called Dipsy, which is like smaller chunks of audiobooks to kind of like help you go to sleep to, because they've done all these studies that they realize that women, I can't remember the exact term for it, but basically come up with a narrative in their head for their fantasies. And this is just like a way. So it's like romance audiobooks in a shorter form to quickly get to the good stuff. But also it's a little bit more like you're going to hear breathing, going to hear some moans. Like,
that's, I feel like you should be coaching some of our listeners into this evolution. I love that you're basically describing, like, it's kind of like my books, but I don't have to fast forward. Like, it's basically what you're saying.
Yeah. But there's also ones where there's like the guy, it's just the guy and he's talking to you or whatever your preference is. They have them with girls and non-binary people as well, which is awesome, and representation. And
oh, there that is really cool.
Are people of all different races on there as well.
Love
but the guy's just like talking to you like you're lying in bed next to each other. And I was like, this is aww. Great. This is great.
I mean, there's a guy with an OnlyFans out there for you, Laura. For $2 a day, he'll probably tell you sweet things to go to sleep. I'm pretty sure he exists. He's probably a listener of $10K Day. He's probably making a business plan, and he's bought the domain name. And if you would like to advertise yourself to Laura Bess, you can email us at $10KDayAt@gmail.com. We will connect you immediately. Okay, great obsession. What's on your wish list?
What's on my wish list? Better equipment to do all this stuff that we're doing right now. Better audio recording and video recording equipment.
Are you at the point yet where you are buying equipment in order to make your posts?
Like the Instagram posts?
Yeah.
No.
Because that's really where the public-facing part of your journey is, right? It's mostly going to be on Instagram. Yeah, so... So at so far, we're not yet at the point where we're like buying lights and buying stuff, right?
I mean, I have like two very cheap ring lights that like to constantly collapse on themselves. And I have an expensive one.
All they do is collapse. Yeah. All those ring lights do is collapse, because we all bought things that are top heavy to light our, like someone said, let's put the most top heavy design in the world available en masse. Let's start a pandemic. Let's convince everyone they need one. And then let's just watch them all fail.
And they do. Because sometimes you're like, I tested this out. It's great. You press, you know, record, or you start your interview or whatever it is that you're doing. And you press the go button on the light to turn it on. And it's like, no, I'm not turning on now.
No, they don't like to play. Mm-hmm. They don't, they're not. Yeah, they weren't made for us. They were made for the first Google. That first ring light. I'm just picking the first thing that comes up. Oh, it's that one. It's terrible. Was that wish list? Did we just do wish list? We did, right?
Yes.
Yes. See, sometimes, Laura, purchases. This pandemic is affecting my brain. Okay. If you had $10,000 to spend on yourself, what would you buy right now?
That is hard. I was listening to you guys' latest episode on the way up here about you and the mall in Canada. And I was like, all of that sounds great. Can I please hotel immediately and try out all of the rooms? I want to try
every single room.
If I had $10,000 to spend on myself, I would get like a lifetime membership prepaid to a massage and body work place. This has been a new part of my journey. is realizing this has been the coming together thing, is realizing that this thing, that this trauma that happened to me when I was a kid, isn't just something that happened to me in the past and I don't have to worry about anymore. It's something that affects my everyday life. And that has included like pain, different types of pain and different type of syndromes that have popped up because it's going to continue. And I had a full body work massage on Sunday. I took a trip to the mountains. I found a place that did body work massage. And it was incredible. Like, I feel so much better. And I need to make that a part of my routine. Like, it needs to be a weekly thing that I get this done. That's a way that I need to take care of myself if my body's going to continue to function as I get older. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably do that.
I mean, there's an argument, right? At some point I'm sure you can get that medically covered.
Probably.
You know,
probably
I mean, our country is crazy. Yeah. It'll take a while to figure it out, but I can't imagine that your hips aren't continually out of sync if you're not taking care of
it. Exactly. Because
your gait is a little bit affected, right? So yes. Of course your hips are going to, of course you need a massage. Mm-hmm. Of course you need a reset. Like, it completely makes sense that you would need help to get back to the default, I guess. I mean, we all do.
Yeah, we all do. Everybody does. I'm trying to get closer to a microphone. I don't have a microphone to get closer to. Everybody does.
Everybody does. And you know, we live these lives now where we sit in chairs for a large portion of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't do physically all the things that we could. You know, even washing clothes is easier than it was 50 years ago. All of these things. And so we've made all these processes so efficient for ourselves that we don't use our bodies the way they're meant to be used. And so as superficial as a massage sounds, it sometimes is the only thing stretching my neck. Because I've been looking at a phone for 48 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a massage yesterday, so this is very fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. The massage.
Yeah.
Girl, prepay your massages for your life. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. I'd do that with $10,000.
Could you imagine just going into Massage Envy and being like, let me just put a cool $10,000 down now. Yeah. And I will check in with you again in like 2030 and we'll settle up.
Great thing about Massage Envy being they're everywhere. I could go anywhere and get a massage. Anywhere, that'd be great.
Yeah,
definitely doing that with my time.
I also like at Massage Envy that they will let you use half a credit to make it a 90-minute.
Yeah. Well, I just
you can go into a 0.5.
I just bought my Mother's Day gifts, and they have a special going on right now. Everybody, or not anymore. When you guys listen to this, that was buy one.
Too late, everyone. You missed it.
Was buy one get one free. So.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, everybody should have a massage sometime for sure. If you want to be touched, if you don't want to be touched, don't
do
it's
it.
It's fine. Don't get massaged. It's up to you. Okay. If you had $10,000 to give away, how would you give it away right now?
Well, right now, I'd give it to India. Give it all to India. Here you go, India.
Girl, seriously, India. It's so stressful.
So stressful.
And they literally cannot distance themselves. No. They do not have the space. Mm-hmm. They don't have the living situations. They don't have the ability. And I think about like how bored I am sitting in my house. But besides being bored, I'm not scared for my life.
Nope.
Or hurting somebody else. Or gosh.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And you know, because it's not a global effort, because it's country by country or state by state sometimes or city by city. Mm-hmm. I don't know when. I mean, we have a travel podcast, and I literally don't know when I could ever go to India again. Is it within 5 years? Yeah. Is it within 10? I know it's not in the next two.
What's it going to look like? Because if they can't get it under control, the death toll is going to get sad, guys. The death toll is going to be huge. Well,
they are already having as many people sick a day as we lost in 2020.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's just insanely sad and terrible. And as much as I can zoom out, because I was a political science major, right? So I can zoom out and go, this is a world reset. This is what happens. Like, there is that amount of like intelligence in me that I can see that. But it also has the danger of making you not care.
Yeah.
It also has the danger of like not making it human enough, yeah, right? If you keep zooming out. And so then you have to zoom back in and then it just gets overwhelming again. Then you zoom back out, then you zoom back in.
And I think a lot of what's helping us stay zoomed in is the people here. I mean, it's sad that this is true, but the people here who have people over there that are sick and dying and scared. That's been, that's been an emotional journey.
While we're talking about that, and we are going to go into something happier in just a minute, everyone, don't worry. But while we're paused there with Laura Bess, our listener, Raj, Dr. Raj, who works at Metropolitan Health at the ER in Harlem, has started a GoFundMe to bring oxygen tanks and supply oxygen to people in India. So they created a GoFundMe with a collection of Indian doctors here in the United States who are doing that. There's a whole lot of other places to donate money. I'm sure you've been seeing them, but if you wanted to just kind of, I don't know, make sure it goes to hands, you know, these are the hands we know. That link is in my personal bio on Instagram. Like if you go to @LuluPickhart, it's in that bio. It's also on our Facebook Bay page. And we can also hook you up with Raj directly if you would like to donate some money. But we know Raj, we trust him, and we know that he has family in India. So if you're looking for a different way to donate than that, I can't promise it'd be tax deductible, but you know, if you want to go to other routes, but that's there. So thank you for bringing that up, Laura, because we were able to share Raj's thing too, which is so beautiful. Yeah, man. Okay. You've given it to India. Now we do get to finish on a happy, thank goodness. But before we go to the happy, on Instagram, Laura is Laura Bess is best, which I love. I think it's fab. Laura, is there anywhere, I think people are going to be interested in you, and I've talked about your writing. I've talked about a few of those things. So if anybody's interested in connecting with you in a theater way, if they want to talk to you about intimacy, direction, or anything like that, which you would be fabulous at, how can they contact you?
Well, one other social media shout out is I do have TikTok going on as well, which I think is Laura Bess is the best, I think is TikTok. Right now it's pretty random, but there's some good stuff on there. TikTok. Laura Bess is the best. There we go.
Okay.
I also have a website that's horribly out of date, but hopefully I'll be getting a new one that's just Laura Bess instead of laurajernigan.com, which is what it is right now. But yeah, you can, you know, DM me on Instagram if you want to talk about any of that stuff. I've completed level one of intimacy direction with intimacy directors and coordinators with IDC. And I think they're awesome. I think that work is awesome. I can't wait to go deeper into it. I'm getting ready to do their consent and academia workshop starting here in the next couple of weeks.
Can you really quickly describe intimacy direction for our listeners who don't come from theater?
Absolutely.
Or performance?
Intimacy direction is addressing any moment on stage where there's basically touching. And it comes from, you know, really with the beginning of the Me Too movement and realizing that a lot of our practices around stage intimacy, around kissing, making out, simulated sex, whatever it is, were very unsafe for the people involved. Particularly, it did not protect the women involved. So intimacy direction is for the stage. Intimacy coordinators are for stage and or film and television work. And this company that I'm taking classes with, they have a person who is like the intimacy coordinator for all of HBO. They have a person that is the intimacy director for all of, it's not Portland Stage. Is it Portland Stage? What's the Oregon Shakespeare Festival people? They have one.
Ashland?
Yeah.
Ashland.
I think that's what it is. So it's just, it's coming up with a language so that we are respecting people's boundaries. And we are doing it in a safe way where the important work can still get done. Because a lot of the work that we do as actors require us to be uncomfortable. So it's not about comfort. It's about having the confidence that we can do this safely, that no one's going to touch a part of me that I don't want to be touched. And it's not going to be touched in front of an audience full of people, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have...
And we've all been in that situation before, yeah. For sure, being on stage.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always mean that our scene partner was necessarily inappropriate. Yeah. There just weren't rules.
Exactly.
They just didn't exist before.
Yeah.
So I think that that's awesome. We've always had that. In my lifetime of performing with fight choreography, yes. And fight direction. So now it is extending into intimate scenes, which I think is awesome.
And you'll find a lot of the people involved in this intimacy direction are fight directors because they already kind of are doing some of that work. So it just bleeds in very nicely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Working with an intimacy director can be a game changer with a show for sure. And I'll just shout out Michael Rossmey here, who was an amazing intimacy director who really changed my whole like thought process around intimacy direction, because we had a terrible aggressive scene in Man of La Mancha, and he was able to change all the language in it, change the names of the moves so that they were not at all related to anything intimate.
Yeah.
So instead of like laying your neck on his shoulder, it would be a move that the goose move, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So like it was as removed from affectionate language as possible, mm-hmm. which was really interesting. It was a cool thing. Okay, we could go into hours there, but we were clearly about to end the podcast. Hey, everyone. Thanks for being here. I'm sure you can see Laura and I could talk about a million things. We had to only pick one thing because I knew we could talk about a zillion. Maybe we'll have her on again to talk about all the cool things that we have to talk about. Yes. Thank you for being here, Laura. I think you are an amazing person. I love being your friend. I love watching you kind of evolve on this journey and inspire other people. And I can't wait to see like what you're going to collect from the world because of it.
Thank you.
I think it's cool.
Back at you.
Yeah. Bye. Say bye.
That was 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu. And don't forget, with friends like us, who needs amenities?